Well, good morning to each this morning. It's good to be here again in the house of God. And I've been inspired already this morning with the devotions and with the Sunday school and with the songs, especially the first song, because it went right with a little bit what I was planning to speak about this morning. And I'll bring it up a little later in my sermon where it fits in. But it's good to be here. And I was trying to think of a subject to preach. Victor was kind of scheduled to preach this morning, and then it became apparent toward the later part of the week that he wasn't going to preach, so somebody was going to preach, and so I was thinking about what I should preach about, and the subject that I thought of was a necessary element of life, and I don't know why I thought about it. I think God put the thought there. I believe that Spirit put it there, but Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there was something special about those days, or maybe kind of getting ordinary by now. And when it's summertime, I tend to think about this element more than probably any other season of the year. I don't know what element comes to your mind. Water. Water. We think about water. We get thirsty. We take water. The title of the message for this morning is The Water in You. Water, of course, we know is a very essential part of life. I mean, if we don't have water, what happens? We die. Did a little research. There's actually a lot of water sitting in here this morning because we as human bodies are made up of a high percentage of water. If you're under the age of one, you're about 78% water. And if you're an adult man, you're about 60% water. And if you're an adult lady, you're about 55% water. And I didn't know if I should say this or not, but it will maybe make the ladies feel better, and that is that the reason they have a little less water is because fat isn't water. That's what this said. And ladies tend to generally have a little more fat than men. So in general, ladies are 55% water and men are 60% water. Men have to consume a little more water than ladies because of this. But inside of our bodies with this water, I found it interesting that the brain and heart are composed of 73% water, and the lungs are 83% water. And I thought that's interesting because we can't take outside water and put it in our lungs. It doesn't take very much, I think 4 ounces, and you drown. And yeah, they're 83% water. The skin contains 64% water, and the muscles and kidneys are 79% water, and even your bones are 31% water. Water, that's what we're made of, in a way. And it's important. It's extremely important. As I said before, if you didn't have water, you would soon die. I think I can safely say that every person in this audience took a drink of water this week, probably just a clear, maybe a full glass of water to quench that thirst. It's satisfying. When we get thirsty, when we're hot, we need water to live, and we take a drink of water. It's satisfying. It fills us. And I think we can safely say that not only everybody in this audience took a drink of water, but everybody in the world. Every living person took a drink of water. How do I know? Well, if they're still living, unless they just quit, you have to drink water. Now, I know you can say, well, and I work with this older gentleman that I've never seen him drink water. I can honestly say he's come to work. He worked for us for, I don't know, maybe 3 years now. And he comes with a 2-liter Mountain Dew, and he never drinks just plain water. But you know, there is, if it's regular soda, it's 90% water, and if it's diet, it's 99% water, and that's the reason for the difference in taste. But it's water. People are drinking. We have to drink to live. Everyone living today drinks water. Water. Water that meets physical needs. Water that keeps us alive physically. My question this morning to you is this the only water in you? Is this the only water that's in you? For a text, you can turn to John chapter 4. This morning I would like to start by reading John chapter 4, verses 1 to 14. And then we're going to end by doing a few comparisons between what water does for the body and what living water does for the soul. Jesus says, to be fully alive and to have eternal life, you need living water. That kind of water. John chapter 4, When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. And must needs means he had to. He had to go through Samaria. Thank you. Thinking about water does make you thirsty as well. He had to go through Samaria. Why did he have to go through Samaria? Well, if you look at a map, Samaria, he was on his way from Judea to Galilee, and Samaria lies right in between. It was a Mediterranean Sea on the one side and the Jordan on the other side. The only way, really, to go to Samaria, to go to Galilee, was to go through Samaria. So Jesus had to go through Samaria. And I found it interesting, and I tried to scale the map in my Bible, that this distance of travel was a long journey. The shortest way that I could find to go through Samaria from Judea to Galilee, by scaling my map, it was approximately 35 miles. And I imagine if it was by path or by trail, it might have been a little longer. That would have been the way a crow flies straight across, from what I calculated. And Jesus had to go that way. Then the other way would have been to go all the way down around the Dead Sea or cross the Jordan River and go up and come back across Jordan River. The quickest way was to go through Samaria. And Jesus went that way, but that was not the only reason he went that way. Jesus, being the Son of God, also knew that there was a group of people there that needed him. He knew that. As a Son of God, he knew that. Continue reading. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. So Jesus was traveling, and he got to the city. And it says he was weary. And there's where we see the humanity of Jesus. He was weary. So again, I looked at the map, and I thought, well, if he'd have been close to the Jordan where John was baptized, and he traveled to this city, likely they would have went maybe 20 miles. Sychar's in the lower part of Samaria, so he hadn't gone up through Samaria very far yet. It's in the lower part. It likely would have been maybe 20 miles. Well, an average person walking is 3 to 4, maybe 5 mile an hour if you really walk fast. So this is several hours of travel, and they had already walked a considerable distance. They were tired. And Jesus says Jesus was wearied and he sat down. Same thing we would do. And I thought about, you know, how many miles do we walk? We don't walk much. I mean, I have a job that some days you walk quite a bit, some days you walk a little less, but my average this past week was 2.5 miles, if my phone was right. That's not, 2.5 miles a day. That's not very far in a day. But I know there's been times when I've walked 7 or 8 miles and you're tireder. It just wears you out. Jesus was tired. Like, they had traveled away. Jesus was still young. He was in his early 30s. And we know that Jesus was used to whenever he stopped somewhere, people would come in. And he had obviously spent, before his time of travel, he had spent time with people, teaching people. And sometimes he liked to just get apart from people and take a break. And I believe that's what he wanted to do at this well. He went to this well and he sat down and says he was weary. He probably just wanted to take a break and rest. His disciples went into town to get food, and he said, I'm just going to sit here. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then Jesus, this was not something normal. The woman looks at Jesus and she says, why are you asking me for a drink? That's not what Jews do. I think this is the first time she'd ever have a Jew ask her as a Samaritan woman for a drink. She says, why are you doing this? This is not normal. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now remember, we just read that Jesus was weary. And I don't think he had much rest, because the disciples had went to buy meat, and they hadn't come back yet. I believe Jesus was still weary. I don't know how long he sat there before this woman came, but here comes this woman, and he asked her a question. And I think he knew already in his heart what this woman's answer would be. And Jesus, knowing all things, yet we just saw that he was human, but he knew all things. But we in our humanity don't always see the whole picture. But I can picture myself there on the well after being weary and seeing somebody coming and thinking, I'm going to ask her for a drink. I'm really thirsty. But then I wouldn't have seen it as a prime witnessing opportunity. I mean, here now Jesus had to work again because he asked her a question. And she asked him a question. Why would you ask of me? The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? I think I missed a part here. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst ask of him, and he would have given thee this living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. So here Jesus was telling this woman, if you'd asked me for a drink, I would have given you living water. And we can continue to read on down through how that Jesus told her what he knew about her. He knew all about her. He knew about she had five husbands. He knew all about her. We see his sovereignty and his capability to know all of her life. He knew her needs. He knew her sin. Until Jesus was finished talking to that woman, he had not only persuaded her, but she went into town and the people came out and persuaded him to stay there for 2 more days. And it says he stayed there 2 more days to teach them. And many more believed on him. Verses 39 to 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I'd like to get back now and focus on verses 10 and 14. I love the way Jesus presented salvation to this woman. And John used it this morning in his Sunday school when he talked about the natural tree and how that you can take lessons from nature. And Jesus often taught that way. And here he did it the same way again. He said he took something that she was needing and resent it back as a question and said, Ask of me living water. A very important element that she was familiar with, that everyone's familiar with. We all understand the necessity of water. So verse 10, what is the living water that Jesus is presenting here? What is the living water Jesus is presenting? It is the gift of salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The first song we sang this morning, I liked number 321, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. That's the living water that Jesus was speaking of. You go back a couple chapters into John chapter 7, verse 34, verse 37 and 38. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And verse 39 says, But this spake he of the Spirit, that they which should believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. So this living water is the Holy Spirit that we can have. Paul writes about this. You can go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. He talks about this Spirit dwelling within us, which I believe is the living water. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The living water is dwelling in us. And what happens? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. The Spirit of God will not dwell where there is unholiness. What did Jesus tell this woman the living water would do for her? Go to John chapter 4 again, verse 14. But whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus told her that the water that I'm going to give you is going to be inside. And it's going to be there just bubbling away. Take that well of springing water. You picture a spring that's just bubbling out of the ground. It's just there. It's always there. It's coming forth. And God told this woman, it's going to be in you. And he tells us the same thing. That it'll be in there bubbling away. As long as we drink, it's there. And in that bubbling, in that water, is life and peace, everlasting life, and eternity with God. The same is for each one of us today. For those here who have accepted salvation, we have that water inside us. And you just have to drink. Not only of the water, the natural water, but of the water that's inside. Allow it to fill you up and flow out of you. That song that we sang, one holy passion filling all my frame. Does it fill you up this morning? What did Jesus say this was going to cost her? Jesus said in verse 10, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. What was it going to cost her? It was free. He says, if you would ask, I will give. The same thing Jesus offered this woman, he offers to us. If you ask, he will give. You know, natural water is not free. This woman was coming. She had to drop her bucket down to pull it up. In America, we see skids of water, lots of water. And people buy this water. And as a little survey, if you drank simply from bottled water, it would cost you $3.50 a day. And you would continue to buy it. And it would cost you $1,000 a year for one person. And if you take a family of 10, it would cost us $10,000 a year, and suddenly water treatment systems start to make sense. But this water that Jesus has needs no treatment. This living water needs no treatment, and it's available. We just need to ask. We need to bring ourselves to where we ask for it, and we will receive it. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed this message many years earlier. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. All you have to do is come. These people, that's all they needed to do. Of course, we have in John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, it talks about, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This life, this living water can be had simply by believing. We need to believe. It seems so simple, and yet there's so many people out there and around us today that just don't have the faith to latch onto that living water and drink. Several similarities I see between natural water and living water. Number one, they both come from God. We don't make water of ourselves. It's something God gives us. Living water the same way. Number two, both are necessary for life. One for physical life and one for spiritual life. And then the third one kind of, maybe it's forced a little bit, but I'm going to say it. I wrote it down. I kind of liked it from my own thought. Maybe it won't connect with you. But water molecules are made up of three parts. Two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. Where does the living water come from? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three parts. So now I'd like to take the rest of the time and look at what water does for the body. Now that partaking of it helps us to live physically, and how partaking of living water helps us to live spiritually. What does water do for the human body? And I'm going to give a point, and then I'm going to say, what does water do for the living soul? And kind of compare them. And I have seven things. It's not near everything, but it was seven things that I thought of. and seven things that we're going to look at this morning. And you can add to the list, but hopefully you can take something away. What does water do for the body? Number one, it keeps us alive physically. On an average, 3 days without water, you will die. Maybe a little, there's a few times where you can live more than that, but on average, it's 3 days. And that's the reason that in Florida, for a while, they dug and they talked about the rescue and down at that building that fell down. It was a rescue mission, but now it's a recovery mission. By now, men know that after so many days, there's no life. There's no water, there's no food, there's no life. What does the living water do for the soul? It keeps us alive spiritually. If you die physically in 3 days without taking a drink of water, how many days do you think you can go without drinking of that living water that's inside? How many days can we go without drinking of it? How do we drink from this living water? I believe that our inner soul is refreshed and we just sit and commune with God. Like John talked about this morning and said also in his Sunday school, that you know, when we sit down in our quiet place, in a quiet place, and we meditate on God and we read his word and spend time communing with God, thanking him for what he's done, for what he's given us, reading our Bible and meditating, that just is drinking on that water. And that keeps us alive. The minute we stop doing this, and it becomes further apart, we start to die. We begin to feel empty, and we will die spiritually. Are you drinking of the living water? Number two, what does water do for the human body? It transports waste out of the body. When we take in things that are harmful to us, water helps us to get rid of it. They say if you drink plenty of water, you'll live a healthier life. And I do know that if I'm getting a cold, generally I'll drink a little extra water. It tends to help you from getting it so bad. And some people take this to a real extreme. I was at a community picnic a number of years ago, and this lady was there, and she had some, I don't know, decent-aged boys. I think one was about the same age as my son, Barton. Back then, it's probably maybe 9 or 10. And we had ate supper, and after bed, I heard her say, "Hey, you can tell me you can go get another drink of water." And I looked at this boy like, okay. And partway through the evening, she said to him again, "Hey, it's time to get another drink of water." Well, come to find out, this lady is convinced that you need to drink a lot of water. And I was actually kind of pitying her children, but I guess they were used to it. He acted like it was fine. He would never do what she said. Got another drink of water. But that's what helps to get rid of that. That is what helps rid our body of things that's harmful to it. So what does living water do for the soul? It gets rid of the uncleanness in us and makes us clean. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed with that living water. You are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Titus 3, verse 4-7 says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, and that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Again, we have it washed. All we need to do is drink of that living water and we can be washed. Are you drinking living water? Number three, what it does for the human body, it is a filter. Moisture in our nose, eyes, and ears helps to keep dust from entering the body. If dirt gets in your eye, it immediately begins to wash itself and wash it away and clear up our vision. What does the living water do for our soul? It is also a filter. The Holy Spirit, the living water inside us, also is a filter. It helps to control what we take in. In this time of the year, with the much immodesty and whatever about us, it helps us to get our focus where it needs to be. It filters our thoughts. It filters what we're allowed to dwell on. It comes into us. It's part of us. When we're up against decisions and not sure which way to go, this filter helps to clear the vision that we're seeing blurry, and we can hardly see because of blurred vision. Aren't sure which direction to take, this filter helps to wash it away. It's living water so we can see clearly and make wise decisions. Are you drinking this morning of the living water or simply natural water? Number four, what does water do for the human body? It's needed by the brain to manufacture hormones and neurotransmitters. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I did read what this was. And I assume nobody here, maybe I should ask if anybody here knows what a neurotransmitter is. Well, I didn't, so if you know, good for you. But I know I don't know a lot of things that people know, so I accept that. But neurotransmitters are send instruction from one brain cell to another and transfer information throughout the brain and body. There's a whole list of different neurotransmitters, but one of them is adrenaline. And most of us sitting here, I assume at one point in time, had a feeling of adrenaline. It's that rush that you get whenever you all of a sudden feel like you're out of control, I guess. And you start, it just hits. And it makes people do things they've never thought possible. I remember I used to work with a fellow that had a sister. And if I remember right, her husband was working on a car. They had it up on jacks or something. And her husband was working on this car. And somehow something shifted and the car fell down onto him. And he couldn't breathe. He says, "You're going to have to pick the car up. I can't breathe." And she, in her desperation, picked up the front of the car and able to let him get out. And to this day, she can't pick the car up. You just can't do that kind of thing. But her adrenaline kicked in. She was able to do what was impossible. Well, the water that is taken into your brain allows you to do these things. What does living water do for the soul? The Holy Spirit does the same thing. And it makes things that seem impossible to others looking on, we're able to do. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8 talks about this increased power. Don't have to turn there, I can just read it. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, this was Jesus, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth." There is power when we drink from that water. People don't understand. The world around us says we need to take up arms and fight for our rights. But this is not what Jesus taught. You can read in Matthew chapter 5. To the carnal man, Matthew chapter 5 is impossible. And without living water, it is impossible. Jesus teaches that you're supposed to love those that hate you. Give to them to take away from you. Give to them to take something. Give them more. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And we tell people that and they say, "How? It makes no sense." But it's because of the power that comes from within. Without the Holy Ghost, you won't understand that power. Number five. Sorry, I had my stuff too spread out this morning. See if I can find it. Oh, there it is. Didn't have a good way to lay it out side by side. We'll be good here. Point number five, water in the body forms saliva. Saliva is 98% water. When we eat, saliva begins to break down that food so that we can digest it and so that it can be absorbed into our body and useful. What does the living water do for the soul? It's the same thing. It helps us to digest God's word. When we read the Bible and things stand out, and I liked what Curtis said in his devotion this morning about it. He was there at church and a brother was having a devotional and it just hit him. That's the living water that we're drinking of. It's the spirit that's inside of us that brings these things to mind. That's what I believed when I was driving home, and I thought, I'll talk about water. I believed it was something from within. This water helps when we read the Word of God to understand. It's what points out those areas in our lives where we're going wrong, where we should change. It helps us to live the way Jesus wants us to live. Helps us to understand God's will for us. The Spirit of God will never conflict with the Word of God. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, 12 to 13, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. But we need it. It's this living water that we're drinking of that gives us that. Are you drinking of living water? Number 6, water acts as a shock absorber for the brain and the spinal cord. Number 6 on the living water, what does it provide? It provides, I'm going to say, a shock absorber for the unexpected things of life. Our lives are full of unexpected things. Things that come up that we don't have planned on. How do we react? How do we respond? The way these things are handled has a lot to do with what's inside. In construction, I've seen men get extremely angry when things change, when plans changed on them. And it's not gone quite the way they had thought, or they wanted to be something different. And I remember a man, it was a sprinkler putting a sprinkler in a building, and he got that upset that he went racing out in his van. He threw his toes on the ground. I didn't see the toes fly, but I was outside. But they said toes went flying. He went racing out, and he jumped in his van, and he tore out of the place we were working at, and he had to do a 90-degree turn to get on the road. And I was sitting there like, I hope his van don't flip, because he was rolling out of control. There was no shock absorber in that man's life. He just lost it, went crazy. Another time I remember I was on a job where a man was laying a block wall, and when I put my level on it, it was 3/4 inch out top to bottom of the side door. It wasn't going to work. And I looked at him and I said, you're going to have to fix your wall. And it gives you a funny feeling when you see a fellow twice your size, red in the face, holding a 4-foot level, pretending he's getting ready to swing it at you. But he's out of control. Ungodly men have no control. People without living water, without the Holy Spirit, have no control. There's no governor. There's nothing to stop them. This living water inside is what keeps us together. Yeah, we have things that happen, and we have to, sometimes we do maybe lose control, but we generally get it in pretty soon. But just to totally lose it, this living water is what keeps you under control. We could see that in the past year over the fear, the much fear that people had of COVID and stuff. You could see they had no inner water to drink of. And they felt out of control when the fear was driving them over the edge, and they're still scared. But this inner living water that we can drink of, that God is supplying for us, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. We don't have to fear. We have a shock absorber. We can take the unexpected things of life. It helps us to deal with them in a better way. And number 7, lastly, it lubricates joints. Water is a big part in your joints when you move to keep that joint, two things from rubbing together and being aggravated. What does the living water provide? It also lubricates joints. You know, we're in a church. And in a church, there's many people. We come from all different backgrounds here. We come from a lot of different places. We have a lot of different thoughts. But this living water is what allows us as men and women to come together and work together from different backgrounds, to work in unity. And we know by now, many of it's been here, that if you work on committees, that sometimes, and I think somebody mentioned that earlier this morning too, that we see weak points in people. When you go to a church for a while and work with people, you start to see weak points. And we have to deal with those weak points. And we have weak points ourselves. But this living water is what makes these weak points, instead of them becoming a huge thing and driving us apart, this living water can help us push away the weak points in our brother and look at the good points. Drinking more of this living water within and looking for the good in our brethren makes these sore spots go away. And I know that by experience, that when you see things and it just grinds you, that you just need to go to the living water and drink and let it go away. So in conclusion this morning, I can't help but think about the words of Jesus that we read earlier when he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And I had to think about, you know, on a hot day when you drink a lot of water and the water just keeps coming out and coming out, you're full, the water keeps coming out. Are you full this morning of the living water? Is it so full in your life that it's just flowing out? Is it seen by those around us? Can they see it? Do they feel it? Does it affect their lives? We must continue to drink of this living water so that it does. It needs to fill us up all the way to the top so we have something to give, something to share. And you know, there's news articles now you can read about water shortage, and there's different parts of the world that there's not much water, and they worry about what's going to happen when you run out of water. This living water that Jesus was presenting to this woman is forever. It will never run dry, and we can continue to drink forever. Let us kneel for prayer.